Good day, and I want to welcome you to our service today. If this is the first time that you are joining us here on Sundown Online, I would like to welcome you to our services and invite you to join us every Sunday where we have a look at God and His Word. The last 3 weeks, we've been in a series called God Is Not Mad With You. And we will continue with the same topic this week and maybe even into maybe the next week, maybe even the week after that, because this topic is so huge and so amazing. And every time I think I'm going to come to the end of it, like I thought maybe today, I just find and just get stuck on one or two topics, and you know, it's just so much. So the first week we discussed about the corrugated Christian, about people who live a life that's like a corrugated roof. They live a life that's up and down. When things are good, they're happy. When things aren't so good, they're not so happy. And Jesus Christ came to this earth and paid a price for you and me so that we can live a life that is above the normal life. When we call that life the supernatural life, it's a supernatural life because it's above the normal corrugated life. And so we spoke about that. The week after that, we spoke about the image that many of us have of God. You know, we think that God is standing there with a whip and He wants to beat us and He's punishing us for sinning. And that's why we have all these issues in our lives, because God's punishing us. And that's so far from the truth, because God poured out all the wrath that our sin deserves on Jesus Christ. And then last week we looked at Jesus as an atoning sacrifice that blotted out your and my sin. I said last week that it covered, but it did cover, but it totally blotted out our sin. You remember when the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies once a year at Yom Kippur, he would take the blood of goats and animals and present them in the Holy of Holies on the mercy seat. But Jesus Christ, and he would get atonement, which was a covering of their sins. Their sins was never removed, it was only covered. But when Jesus Christ died, Hebrews 9 tells us that he went into the heavenly sanctuary, into the temple in heaven, and went into the Holy of Holies and bought an eternal redemption for us by putting his own precious blood on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant in heaven, and therefore bought us an eternal redemption. So Jesus not only covered our sins, he totally blotted those sins out. And so this week we're going to talk a bit about reconciliation and what Jesus did for us in the work of reconciliation, as well as, I can't remember, but we'll get to there now. When Jesus died on the cross, he reconciled you to God. That was his whole purpose. It was to understand or to reconcile mankind to God. Often we read words in the Bible and we don't understand the power of what those words are actually telling us, or we have a misunderstanding of those words. This series, I'd like to highlight some of these words to give us a better understanding of our salvation. Because when you read a word like righteousness, which is the other topic I'll be talking about, we don't really understand what that means, and after today you'll understand what reconciliation means and what righteousness means. But you've been completely reconciled to God through Jesus Christ because your sins have been forgiven. You know, one of my favorite psalms is Psalm 133, and it goes from verse 3 to 6. It says, "If you, Lord, kept a record of my sin, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can," in other words, "can stand, with reverence serve you. I wait for the Lord," verse 5, "my whole being waits for, and he's, in his word I put my hope," verse 6, "I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Why does God not keep a record of sin? And remember, this is Psalms. This is King David writing this. Why does God not keep a record of sins? Because Jesus Christ paid a full price to deal with all sin. And it's removed. It's gone. It's blotted out by his precious blood, never to be remembered again. But the flip side is, if you do not come to Jesus and you do not receive the salvation and the forgiveness and the reconciliation which was purchased for you through Jesus Christ's blood, how will you ever stand? Because there is a record of sin. The Bible says there are books been written about you and me, and all the good and all the bad things we did. But only Jesus can wipe away all our sin, all our negativeness, all the ugliness in us. You know, if you knew all about me and I knew all about you, we wouldn't maybe like each other more than we do at the moment, because we're actually ugly. Without Jesus, I'm an ugly person. I really am not a nice person. But when I met Jesus, he changed my life around. And so only Jesus can wipe away our sins. And that whole book of the record of our sins has been blotted out. In other words, wiped out, wiped clean. And that's what his atoning sacrifice did. It actually took that record of sin and totally removed it. And that's why everyone needs Jesus. So let me talk a bit about reconciliation. Throughout the series, you've heard me often quote 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. And just to give you a heads up, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, from 15 to 21, is one of my main life verses. And God gave me the ability to understand this part of the Bible like no other part. And it's really become a part of my life. But verse 18 says, all this is from God, who reconciled us, that's you and me, to himself through Jesus Christ. So that's great. But listen to this. And gave you and me the ministry of reconciliation, that God, this is the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Did you know that you have been called to reconcile people to God through Jesus Christ? And that's all that ministry really is. But you are also a minister, even though you may be not preaching every Sunday. God has called you to reconcile your family members, to reconcile your spouse, to reconcile your children, reconcile others to God through Jesus Christ. Reconciliation is an accounting term where an accountant takes what is spent in a business and what is spent and what had come in the business, and tries to balance or reconcile your debits and your credits, and somehow balance your books. It is also used when two parties are in conflict with each other, and there comes an agreement or a reconciliation between the two parties to find a common ground so that they can work through their issues. Many people believe that when you die, there's a scale, and your good deeds and your bad deeds are weighed on the scale. And if your good deeds are heavier or more, you go to heaven. And if they're not, then you go to hell. Well, that's the biggest lie that the devil is telling many people today, because it's not good people that go to heaven. It is saved people that go to heaven. The sad truth is that when the angels reconcile our lives after we have died, our bad sin far outweighs any good we ever have in ourselves. Like I said before, there is nothing good that lies inside of me. Without Jesus, I am absolutely nothing. So you are absolutely nothing. But through Jesus Christ, we have become renewed. We have become reconciled to God, and the balance has been restored, and our good far outweighs our bad, because it's his goodness, not my goodness. It's Jesus's goodness. It's Jesus that has reconciled us. According to Romans 3:10, it says, as it is written, There's no one, not even one of us, no one righteous, not even one. None of us are righteous. None of us are in right standing with God without Jesus' time, without Jesus Christ. Every time you see in Scripture, it says, as it is written, as the Scripture just said in Romans 3:10, it says, as it is written, there is no one righteous. If you find in your Bible it says, as it is written, be sure that there will be a reference to the Old Testament. And this specific, my nose is itching a bit. This specific reference in Romans is referring to Psalm 14, verse 1 and 3, Psalm 53, 1 and 3, and Ecclesiastes 7, verse 2. We need to understand that the sin Adam and Eve committed brought sin into the whole world. We were born sinners because of our forefathers, Adam and Eve eventually, but sin entered through Adam and Eve, and so it's been propagated through every man and woman that has ever lived there. And we need to be reconciled with God. You know, our sin will never allow us to come into the presence of God. And this is what is going on all through the Old Testament. If you read from Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, what we call the Torah, the whole time God was trying to reconcile man to himself. He had the plan, which was Jesus Christ, but until Jesus came, he used the temple and the priestly tabernacle for the priest, to the high priest, to do the Day of Atonement or Yom Kippur, and where the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and do a sacrifice, an atoning sacrifice that, as I said before, covered the nation of Israel's sin for a year. It was only a temporary solution. Every year, on Yom Kippur, the priest had to slaughter again animals and take the blood and go behind the curtain in the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat and obtain atonement for Israel for another year. However, when Jesus Christ did this, as I said before, he went into a heavenly tabernacle and presented his own blood, and not only covered our sins, but totally blotted it or wiped our sins away. And that is amazing. If you're thinking about what I'm saying, but just think of this. Jesus Christ took his own blood into the heavenly tabernacle behind the curtain where the Ark of the Covenant lies in heaven, and took his own blood and laid his own blood on the mercy seat so that you and I can have an eternal redemption from sin. Our sins are blotted away. You know, the sad thing is that everyone's sin is blotted away, but it's only for those who receive it. You know, Adolf Hitler, if he accepted Jesus Christ, could have gone to heaven. His sin was paid for. It was blotted out at the cross of Calvary. Jesus, however, came to this earth and lived the perfect life without sin, and therefore he fulfilled every just requirement of the law. And then he died on that cross of Calvary for the sin of the entire mankind and paid the full price that the law required, all the way from Genesis to Deuteronomy, the what we know as the Torah. He paid the full price that the law required for sin, and therefore he atoned or covered or totally blotted out our sin and restored you and me and our relationship to God for all eternity. Romans 3, 23 and 26 says, for all have sinned, we are all sinners, and all fall short of the glory of God. We are all sinners, and we all fall short of the glory of God, and we all need a Savior. Verse 24, and all are justified freely by His grace. We'll talk about justification next week. Through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement, not only covering, but blotting, wiping the sin out. Through the shedding of Jesus' blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so that to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in him. It is a fact that we are all sinners. You just have to look at this world. Everyone in this world is a sinner. We have all sinned and we continue to sin. And because we sin, we fall short of God's glorious plan for mankind. That's Romans 6:23. It says that the payment, Romans 6:23 says that the payment for a life like that, a life of sin, is death. This is a never-ending cycle. And no person will ever be able to deal with their own sin. You can never deal with your own sin. You cannot be good enough. You cannot pay enough money. You cannot crawl as far on your knees as you need to. You can't swim the largest oceans of the world. You can't do anything to deal with your sin except receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There's nothing else you can do. Savior mean? The Savior means that He saves you, that's Jesus, saves you from a debt that you could never repay, from which the punishment was or is death. You die and are eternally separated or banished from the presence of God. But your Savior saves you from this fate by dying in your place, thus paying the full price for your sin, so that His death makes you perfect and sinless and fully acceptable and fully reconciled to God. Wow, that's amazing. So when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we first acknowledge that we are a sinner. And we need a Savior from our sins because we are going to hell. Next, we need to acknowledge that we have a debt that we can never pay unless we find someone who is perfect to pay the price that sin requires, which is death. We are all doomed to hell. Then we need to find someone who will die in our place, a Savior, someone who is perfect and able to die in our place. And God made one. His name is Jesus Christ. We have to find a way to find someone to remove our sin. And there is Jesus. He will remove your sin. Because it's your sin that separates you and me from God. And God has only one way to Him, according to John 14:6. And that way is Jesus Christ. You see, we are slaves to righteousness. We need to be slaves to righteousness. See, once we are slaves to sin, the whole world is a slave to sin. That's why they, on Friday nights and Saturdays and Sundays and sometimes even in the week, they are doing all these ugly things. They are maybe having fun and partying and getting drunk and all the wrong things and sinning because they are slaves. They can't help themselves. They are slaves, are bound by sin. And we have no way out of sin because we are born into the sin. But when we accept Jesus Christ, we are liberated from sin. We are liberated from being slaves to our sin, and we become slaves to righteousness because Jesus Christ bought us with His precious blood and declares you and me righteous. Now, the word righteousness means to be in right standing before God. You have the right to stand in the very presence of God because Jesus reconciled you through His death on the cross to God. It's like a child has direct access or the right to be in the presence of a king. The king's son can go in anytime he wants. He walks through the bodyguards, through all the guards, and he walks right up to the throne and he sits on his daddy's lap. And no one says a word. Why? Because he is the son, or he's the child. Now you have a right to be in the presence of God because you are God's child. You're God's son, you're God's daughter. Because Jesus Christ's death on the cross made us adopted as sons and daughters of the living God. You and I are princes and princesses. Can you imagine it? We are the children of a king. That's what Romans 5, 8 to 10 says. But God demonstrated his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, while we were far from God, Christ died for us. That's over 2,000 years ago. Much more then, because we now have been declared righteous by his blood. We've been declared in right standing with God by Jesus' blood. We'll be saved through him from God's wrath. What wrath? The wrath that God has for sin. For if while we were enemies, we are reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, since we have been reconciled, will we be saved by this life? You know, you can go and read the first couple of chapters of Romans, and you'll see that we used to be slaves to sin, but now we are slaves to righteousness. And now we are adopted into as sons and daughters of the living God. That's Romans 8. This is what Jesus Christ did for you and me when he took on your sin on the cross of Calvary. And he atoned, he totally blotted out and removed your sins, blotted it out of the records in the annals of heaven, and reconciled you to God through his blood. He gave you the right, righteousness, the right to stand in the very presence of God. You can go tonight, and you can go on your knees, and you can pray and be in the very presence of God. Not because of anything you did, but because of what Jesus already has done on the cross of Calvary. He gave you the right to stand in the very presence of God. Romans 6, 17 to 23 says, but thanks be to God that through you, though you used to be slaves to sin, you have become to obey from your heart the patterns of the teachings that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness, not to sin anymore. I am using an example of everyday life because of your human limitations, just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity or to sin and to an ever-increasing wickedness. So now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. And we'll talk about holiness in one of the future sessions, because Jesus made us holy. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at the time of the things you are now ashamed of? Those things resulted in death. But now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sorry, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Once you were God's enemies and a slave to sin, and the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5, 15, 28, 58 and 59, we read it last week, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. When you were a slave to sin, you were bound by the effect of sin. Remember that sin got its power through the law, the Ten Commandments, as well as all the Levitical laws that is found in the first five books of the Bible, or the Torah. The Lord defined to us what is good and acceptable to God. That is God's perfect standard, and what it was not. So it showed us what was acceptable to God and what was not acceptable to God. And what was not acceptable was called sin. And the power of that sin was through the law. Because the law gave it, that sin, its power, and the consequences of a life of sinning, according to Romans 6, 23, we just read, is death, or eternal separation from the presence of a living God. Wow. So the law, or sin, made us unrighteous or unacceptable to be in the presence of God, because God lives in perfect light, And within that light, there is no darkness or no sin. Some people claim to have no sin. They say, well, you know, I don't do bad things. I have never stolen. I have never told a lie. I have never murdered anyone. And this is another deception that Satan has given us, because the Bible says there is no one righteous, not even one. John 1 verse 8 and 10 says to us as well, if we say that we don't sin, we are lying. It says, this is the message we have heard from him, verse 5, and declare to you, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. No sin can come into the presence of God. If we claim to have fellowship with him, and yet we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out of the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10 again, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him, Jesus, out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. The Greek word for sin is an archery term. You know, when the guy's aiming with the bow, he's aiming at a target or the bullseye. And if any time he misses the bullseye, he's missing the target. The target, in our case, is the perfect will of God and is described in the laws of the Torah. Anytime you miss the mark of God's perfection, you sin. And therefore, we are all sinners and we all need a Savior to save us from our sin. We are all sinners because we all sin daily. Every one of us is a sinner and we miss that perfect mark that God has set before us every single day. But thanks be to God for Jesus Christ, who has given us a way out of our sin, that he totally removes our sin. Yes, I still sin. I still do things that are not right. I still get angry. I still do things that are sin. But they are blotted out. It says, if I confess my sins, God is faithful and just to forgive me. So every day I go before God and I just repent and I ask God to forgive me of my sins. And he does. But remember, my sin has been blotted out forever. And so has yours. Remember, last week we spoke about atonement, which means to cover our sin. But our sin is not only covered, it is totally removed. It's been blotted out of the books. And Jesus Christ will never remember those sins anymore. Verse 9 again, if we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. In other words, make us righteous. What a glorious promise. You confess your sin and God will always forgive you and always restore you, because Jesus has already paid that price that your sin deserves. God's not mad at you. Jesus has paid that price. He's poured out all his wrath on Jesus. And so God has forgiven you. But you and I have to receive him. We have to receive Jesus as our Savior. As I said in each meeting, what will you do with Jesus today? Will you accept him? Will you reject him? To do nothing is as good as rejecting him. What will you do with the knowledge that you've just heard about Jesus? Let us pray. Father, we want to just praise you, want to worship you, want to thank you for a perfect salvation. We give you all the glory, Jesus. We say thank you, Lord, that you came to this earth to die for sin, period. My sin, my neighbor's sin, the person watching this is sin, everyone's sin. But Lord, we have to receive it. And so I just want to ask you, if you want to receive Jesus, just pray after me. So Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I need my sin blotted out. And so I put my faith in you, Jesus. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to be my Lord and my Savior, my atoning sacrifice that blots out all my sin. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Savior. I declare with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and I believe in my heart that God raised you, Jesus, from the dead. And therefore, according to your word, I am saved. I am born again. My sin has been paid for. My sin has been atoned for. My sin has been blotted out, never to be remembered again. And I am your child. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I would like to encourage you to contact me, and if you need to ask any more questions, you're more than welcome. My email address is on the at the end of this message. Also, go to our website. I have a booklet there called the New Believers Booklet that will explain to you what you've done and explain some other things. Thank you for listening tonight or today. And I'd just like to close in prayer and pray for you. Father, I just pray for my friends. I just pray your blessing over us, Lord. A fresh anointing. Holy Spirit, I just pray to you anoint us, appoint us, and use us to great effect in your kingdom. Lord, those who received you, may they grow in the favor and the faith of God. Lord, give them firm foundations. I just pray, Lord, that they'll find a church and that they'll go to church faithfully and grow into the men and women of God you died for. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to use them to great effect in your kingdom. I pray your blessing over our congregation, Lord, over the people listening to this message. Pray that you protect us through this week. Come against all sickness, all disease, and we speak the healing power of God over each and every one of you. And we claim that by his stripes you are healed, to the glory of God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all until we meet again. Bye-bye.